balloon. How's everybody feeling today? Good deal. How many of you would be honest and say you feel hopeless today? Anybody? Yeah? So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus show up? So a lot of us feel imprisoned by our hopelessness, by fear of scarcity. Jesus said, I have come to declare good news to the captives, to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, right? So hopeless really has no place for the sons and daughters of Jesus. It really has no real claim on your life, right? So we live under this cloud of hopelessness. But I'm here to tell you, it's an illusion. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. To set the captives free from hopelessness, from fear, from addiction, from fear of scarcity. He requires nothing of you in return. Only to say, all right, I'm in. That's it. A believing heart. So today, let's celebrate the fact that we don't have to feel hopeless. That we can come to Jesus today and we can tell him how we feel. We can ask him to speak to us. We can ask him to draw us close. And he will. We can come like children, believing, trusting. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we'll do tomorrow, we have freedom in Jesus.
Thank you.
past. The point of pressing on. Hitting the ceiling. So now I'm loading the car and I'm trying to get a bird out of my damn garage. So go figure. So I'm chasing this bird around with this little net that you take to the beach to get the crab things. You know what I'm talking about? I'm chasing this bird around with this little pink net that belongs to my daughter. I look like a moron. And they're trying to get this bird to come out. And I keep saying to the bird, like, fly down. If you'll just fly down, you'll go out. And so I finally loaded the car up. I pulled back the car out of the garage. And I closed the garage door. So it's just me and this bird having this sort of standoff in my garage. And I could see the birds, like, I don't know, bird's pant, but its mouth was open. It was like staring at me. Like, if you come near me, I'm going to peck your eyeball out. And I looked and its head was bleeding from hitting the top of the garage. I'm like feeling bad. I'm like, oh. So my wife brings this blanket out. She's like, see if you can't catch the bird in the blanket. So finally, the bird gets so exhausted that it finally lands. And it's sort of like, all right, dude, whatever you're going to do, just do it. Let it be done. So I walk over to the bird and I throw the blanket on top and I kind of carefully pick it up, open the garage door, take it over to the edge of the driveway, and away it flies, a little bit crooked. But I was just thinking, like, what a beautiful image that is of the redemption that Jesus offers, right? The rescue that Jesus offers us. Because a lot of us are where we are in our lives because we have refused rescue. We've refused to be set free. We find comfort in the things that we go to medicate. Because all sin is. You know, you've heard the church preach about sin and they fire and brimstone kind of thing. You need to turn from your sin. Sin is just a search for life apart from God. That's all it is. And I just love the imagery of that bird finally so exhausted that it finally gives in to whatever I'm going to do to it. It has no idea that I'm going to set it free. And it finally just gets so exhausted that it's like, all right, I submit. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That God does not force himself on us. God does not force his agenda for us, his plan for us, on our lives. There's this careful hemming in that happens, kind of like the bird in my garage. There's this careful hemming in that happens. Psalms 139 talks about it. It says that you've gone before me, and you come behind me, and you've hemmed me in. And a lot of us feel hopeless because we feel like we've gotten so far away from God that we're beyond redemption. And Jesus says, no, that's not the way it works. I've actually went way up ahead of you. And I went way behind you. And I've hemmed you in. And you can act up. You can kick up a fuss. You can be a jerk. You can run to things that you think will give you life. But there comes a moment in each of us. And God doesn't rush this moment. That's what's so beautiful about the redemption story in the gospel. God doesn't rush the moment when you're so exhausted that you finally go, okay. Okay. Okay, you can have it. You can have me. You can have my heart. You can have my trust. That's the beauty of the gospel. And when we get to that place, Jesus is like, hey, let me show you another way. Let me show you some better way. Let me open the gate. And you can finally run free. You can finally experience freedom the way your heart was meant to. Because look, I know it may feel free living under a bridge, or living in alleyways, doing whatever the hell you want to do. But I got news for you, man. That is not freedom. That is not freedom. But one day, we're going to get so exhausted and so tired of the same old crap that we're going to go, okay, Jesus. Okay. Some of you may be there today. Some of you may be close, but you're going to go back to that thing that you find life in, only temporarily. But some of you may be there. You may be going, you know what, I'm done. I'm exhausted. Jesus, have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me. Let today be that day. Can I just tell you that freedom in Jesus, it won't lead you to being rich. It won't lead you to a big house on a hillside. It won't lead you to fame and fortune. It'll actually lead you somewhere far, far, far better than that. It'll lead you to a place where you can say, I am a son. I am a daughter. To have confidence in knowing that you belong, that you're loved. That is true freedom. We come out here and we prepare a meal not because we feel sorry for people that don't get to eat. Because the meal represents something that Jesus offers to us. People that are tired, exhausted, just tired of all the crap that we have to put up with. So we come to the kingdom of God. We come to the throne of God. We come to the window. We cast a stone. We say, Jesus, I want more of you. And he gives it. And that's what the meal here represents. That's what we hand out here represents. The freedom and the grace and the mercy that Jesus offers. The freedom to be a son, to be a daughter of a good, good, good Father. Amen.
Thank you. All right. That was good stuff, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I couldn't help but think of the words of Paul and John as Jesse was sharing his bird story this morning. And before you get all churchy with me this morning, think, man, Keith's just starting early, man, going to the Apostle Paul and the beloved disciple John. No, I'm talking about Sir Paul McCartney and John Lennon. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to arise. My favorite Beatles song. Could it be that as Jesse told that story this morning, I'm just sitting there and beyond thinking of a song that I like. That's mine and my daughter's favorite Beatles song. It's a really good one if you've never listened to it. Throwback Sunday. But as I was thinking of that story and thinking of how Jesse shared that, man, isn't that just like us to be banging our head against the ceiling to the point of bleeding, trying everything we can to the point of exhaustion when finally just saying enough is enough, I need help. And so this morning, may it be many in this crowd's moment to arise that you've just been waiting. Maybe you didn't even know you were waiting this morning. So let's pray with that in mind, then we'll get into a word this morning. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful leading of Jesse this morning, way beyond his talents or gifts. The most beautiful way in which he leads is through his heart and the way he's honest and just gives of himself. And so thank you for that this morning. It's been a blessing to me, and I know to others out here this morning. And so, God, we just think of that story. Even that you allowed to happen this morning, of just maybe today is the day we could quit trying to bang our head against the ceiling of doing it our own way and just simply allow the freedom of your rescue to take place in our life. That's what we pray for. That's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, last week, if you were here, you had the privilege of my good friend and brother Chris Rowe was with us. I know you were blessed by that, but the last few times I've talked on the topic of freedom. I thought about that since the 4th of July. You remember I shared that a couple of weeks, actually the same passage, and I want to dip into that just one more time and maybe share a few other things that God has put on my heart this week. But as a recap, Jesus was prophesied long before his earthly existence. We know that he always was, right? He didn't just pop on the scene one Christmas morning. That was his human existence, but Jesus has always been part of the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word. You know that in John 1. But 700 years before Jesus physically existed on earth, at least day to day in a human form, Isaiah talked about this Messiah. Here's what the message, if you don't remember how it read, said the last couple of times I spoke on this. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of God, the Master, is on me. Because God has anointed me, he sent me. This is talking about Jesus. If you want to know Jesus' heartbeat back then, if you want to know it today, if you want to know his mission, his passion, his focus today, it is this: to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, as Jesse said, to announce freedom to all the captives, and to pardon all prisoners. Then we see 700 years later, Jesus reading in a synagogue as he rolls back the scroll. And he says this after reading from the scroll, he rolls this back and he says this: in this today, in this reading, this has been fulfilled. In other words, I am that guy that came to set the captives free, to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim to all the prisoners, there is pardon for your transgressions. It's a beautiful, beautiful message. In other words, Jesus said this, those four things: to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to free the captives, to pardon the prisoners. Now, I ask you a question this morning. Do you know what the church is? Everybody look to me. Where's the building out here? Where's the steeple? Open the door. There's all the people, right? That's what people think church. But I want you to take a better look around. This is a better representation of that than a building with a steeple. This is the church. It is the people. You and I are the church. I loved it in the beginning. We still get asked this. I loved it in the beginning, though, when we came out here, people say, this is fine and good, but where is your church? I say, me and you. And you get the weirdest look, like, wait a minute, I didn't walk in a building, I don't have on a tie. This is the church. It is the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head, but this is the church. And so I want you to listen to me this morning. Everybody listen, look this way. If Jesus is the head of the church, and his mission, his mandate, the way he lived and operated was this. Preach the good news to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted, to free the captives, to pardon the prisoners. Then shouldn't his church be the place where this freedom operates the best? If he's the head, if the church is empowered by his spirit, see, we believe that. When you come to faith in Christ, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some would call it a conscience. We believe it's God that speaks and leads and moves and operates. That would even lead a group of people to come to a place and say, you know what? This pavilion looks like a nice spot. Let's sling some food out here and call this church because we're gathering in Jesus' name. That's him. That's not the ones that came out here. God led to do that. It wasn't just some kooky idea that was dreamed up and said, that'll be a good idea. In fact, if you want to know the truth, the first 3 weeks we set out here in November of 2016, nobody joined but this little circle right here. God has done this thing. He leads in that, and it is because he wants to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the heartbroken, to free the captives, and to pardon the prisoners. Jesus is the head of the church, then God help us if our mission and mandate isn't the same as his. But I tell you this morning that Jesus is beyond just that freedom business, but many times there is no greater place of bondage found on earth than in his church. I believe that's why God has continued to put freedom on my mind since the 4th of July. And again, not to take anything away from the American soldier, we are grateful, but there is a far greater freedom that exists, a freedom that is in Christ. I was thinking of things, and I was thinking just to name a few of where I find bondage in the church. And if I'm honest, if we say anything about the church, we have to start in the mirror. If you are a part of the church, this is us. It's not a them problem, it's an us problem. Everybody that is a part of the church. I was thinking about bondage, and I was thinking about bondage of religion. Boy, anybody ever been there? I know Jesse and I have. We'll put ourselves in that boat. Of the feeling like you've got to maintain. You've got to, am I maintaining that you've got to be at a place where you're just doing enough, right? To make up for all the bad stuff you do, that if you just do enough good, listen to me, just be a good boy. Can I be honest? What a pathetic message that is, that you want to go to a man and say that if you'll just grow up to be a good little boy, well, doesn't that sound exciting? Just be a good little boy. Just follow all the rules. Just be safe and comfortable. In fact, there's a teacher that I love, and he's also an author as well. His name is Francis Chan. And he did this illustration one time where he comes out and he's teaching this message, and he's got a balance beam that gymnasts use. You ever seen those? I mean, these mostly the ladies. I guess there's guys that do this, but mostly the ladies will get out there and they've got like this, I don't even know how big it is, but almost like a 2x4 size, and they're doing these flips on it, and they're landing on this thing, and they're keeping their balance. It's amazing, right? If we tried, it's not going to be so pretty. But Francis on this thing, he gets on this beam. If you can picture this, he lays down on his stomach and he holds it, and he just lays there. And he says, this is my life. This is my routine. I'm just safe. I'm just comfortable. I'm just going through the motions of life. And then he pretends to hop off and do the little thing where it's like before the judges. That's my routine. And we get so, just wrapped up in the religious part that's really what it is. I'm just going to do enough to stay here, be comfortable, be safe, make all the right moves, and maybe at the end of my life, everything will just tip the scales enough. I got a Greek word for you this morning. You know the New Testament's in Greek. Everybody look this way. It's called BS. That's what I put on that. If you don't know what that stands for, just ask Jesse when I'm away from the mic. We'll be glad to tell you what that means. It's bull. just to do that, and that's all that life is? Just to be safe and comfortable and just make the right choices? I don't want any part of that. It's bondage to religion. There's bondage to addiction and sin. Jesse talked about that. Maybe you've been held in bondage for so long over that certain thing that just feels like it will never let go. It's the bird banging his head against the garage and saying, just please let me out of this place. When God is just waiting to scoop you up as Jesse did. Man, it's a beautiful story this morning. Maybe some are here this morning in the bondage of the spirit of comparison. I'll never be like so-and-so. I'll never have my stuff together like that. I'll never be out from under this bridge. I'll never. And somehow it brings in this sense of maybe even the bondage of a lack of worth. I'm not good enough. Listen to me this morning. This morning, if you're sitting here and you're picturing yourself as that bird in that situation, you say, I'm not worthy of rescue. Look at me this morning. Yes, you are. You're perfectly made in the image of God. He says with every one of us, his workmanship. You know what that word means? That there was time and due diligence and beauty and an intricacy with you when he crafted you the way you are on purpose. Beautifully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't come at me with some lack of worth this morning and say, I'm not good enough. You're exactly who God came to rescue. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad I don't have to measure up. I'm so glad that on the weeks that I just flat out suck, that he loves me the same. When I forget about him, or when for the 15th time in one week I ask forgiveness for the same thing I've already done, that I don't have to measure up, that I am worth it because of Jesus. The bondage of good works, if I just do enough. The bondage of rules. The bondage of routine. The bondage of going through the motions. Some of us are like on autopilot, man. We never put any thought or any prayer or any of these things. Or we even get the religious heart where I've been before of the bondage of judgment. When you look at others and you say, hey, I'm doing pretty good compared to that guy. I'm doing pretty good today. I mean, I got my moments, but at least I'm not like, you know, that guy. Right? Any of these things can be just as much bondage as the other, and for some, it could feel like a weight of 1,000,000 pounds this morning. You feel like you will never break free from. And listen to me this morning. I want to give you the freedom to operate in this morning. Maybe before you die, you never will break free. Maybe the day you die, in fact, that addiction still reigns supreme. Maybe the day you die, you still have struggled with that one thing that has haunted you over and over and over. Anybody want to hear good news this morning? It doesn't matter with your standing with God. What matters is that when you face Him on that day, that you've said like Jesse did this morning, I'm in. With Jesus. I put my faith and trust that His life, death, burial, resurrection, sacrifice was enough for me. In fact, Jesse and I, we love this guy, Brennan Manning. He's gone on. He's with the Lord now, but has wrote many books, The Ragamuffin Gospel being my favorite. And one of the things he believes that God will ask us when we see Him, it's not about the good stuff we've done, not about the bad stuff we've done or the bad stuff we didn't do, but that he will ask one fundamental question through Jesus' name. Did you know how much I loved you? We can answer yes to that in Jesus' name and say, yes, I believe that our standing is perfection in his sight. I'm grateful for the gospel of Jesus this morning because I cannot do it on my own. Lord knows I've tried. I have stood before people in a crowded room before. I think the biggest group, maybe 1,000 people I've stood, and I probably stood with a mic and told them about all the things they needed to do to get their life straight. I didn't mean to. That's what I thought and that's what I was living. But I want to tell you today that you don't have to do a thing.
except in the need of Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. Jesus' mission was about setting people free. If you think about it and you go back, and I encourage you to do this, go back and read the gospels. Go and read Jesus' interaction with people. Can I tell you just a spoiler alert in case you've never done it? Can I tell you the only people, to my knowledge, as I go back and look, the only people Jesus ever got super angry with, it was the religious. Made him mad enough that he overturned tables. He fashioned something of a whip, like Indiana Jones, and ran people out of the temple of God because of how they were doing. But, on the contrary, when he would encounter a prostitute, a lonely whore, sitting on the side of the road, he would go up to her and he would offer forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. And most of the time they accepted it. I don't know if you remember that. Very few times did it seem like they turned away from that. He would offer and he would follow it with a go and sin no more, like there's a better way. But I promise you, if they did, there was grace and mercy. That's the Jesus that we preach and believe existed at this church. Jesus' mission and his believers were freedom. In fact, he gave us his spirit. Paul even backs this idea. I want to read this scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Remember what I said. If there is any group in the world that ought to operate within this free lifestyle, this true freedom, it ought to be the church. Amen. We have his spirit. Jesus is our head, and that was his mission, so we ought to operate in the same. And listen to Paul backing this up. This time, not Paul McCartney, but the Apostle Paul. The Lord is spirit. And he says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not bondage. Not the spirit of comparison. Not the, if I just do enough, freedom. That William Wallace freedom that we talked about, where he screams with the last bit of breath in his lung. Freedom. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Friends, I want to tell you, I believe the church ought to be the freest people in all of humanity because we operate in the spirit of freedom. Here's what I don't want you to hear. I don't want you to hear that we operate in the spirit of freedom just to do whatever we want to do. That's not what that means. But here's what it does mean is that we operate in a place like this right here that no matter, listen to me in the back there, no matter who comes in this circle, there's freedom for you to be a part. There's freedom for you to belong. There is a seat at this table for you. And guys, look at me. It's that small. That small of a representation of how there is freedom in Christ. There is freedom and a seat at the table for you. There's freedom to love boldly and to operate out of grace and love when we are truly free. I love this verse and I will close with this. Who knew it? I talked about Paul McCartney. I talked about John Lennon. I close with the Apostle Paul and then the beloved disciple John. Forgot about that. Are you free this morning? Do you have the spirit of freedom in you? I want to see hands. Anybody free in that? Listen to what John said. The beloved disciple, the one that Jesus just truly had this amazing relationship with. If the Son sets you free, not talking about that Son, but talking about Jesus, the Son of God, right? The Son, the Christ, the Messiah, your Savior, your Lord. If Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. I want everybody to do an exercise with me this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to get you to run or do push-ups or anything like this. But I want you to do this morning because here is where freedom operates within our spirit. A spirit of bondage and burden and just weight. You know what I'm talking about? How it just feels like it weighs you down. Like you can't escape. Like you're the bird banging the head on the garage. I want you to do this with me back there in the back. This middle section, I want everybody to do this. I want you to take a deep breath with me. Like, I want you to really breathe in, all right? And then we're going to let it out. You ready? On three. One, two, three. That may seem silly, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep doing that. As I pray, I want you to do that within your mind. As I pray, I want you to do that within your spirit. Because the spirit of freedom, when Jesus truly sets somebody free, when you say yes to Him and no to religion, yes to Him and no to going to church, yes to Him and no to the spirit of comparison, yes to Him versus the bondage of anything else that can be named. Scripture says His name is greater than all names. It's not just people's names. It's anything that can be named. Your addiction this morning, if you're here and heroin is your drug of choice, Jesus' name is greater than that. Jesus' name is greater than whatever bondage you find yourself in. His name can break chains and offer freedom. And so as you think of that, as you pray over that, if you say yes to Him and no to all the other stuff, I'm going to operate my life out of the freedom that Christ offers. It's like taking a deep breath, breathing it in, operating in freedom. The freedom that you don't have to do a thing to earn His love sets everything in a different light. It lets you operate out of love and grace and mercy and following Him and knowing that when you mess up today, and you will, when you mess up tomorrow, and you will, you mess up the next week, you will, I will, that we can say, I have the freedom, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the compassion of Jesus. What that does is it doesn't give you a license then to say, well, I'm going to do what I want. I got freedom. I'm just going to live how I want. No, a freedom that good, a love that good makes you start looking outward and saying, how can I offer that freedom to somebody else? How can I give that away? How can I love somebody today like Jesus did in those Gospels? When He comes to the whore, when He comes to the leper that had the skin disease, when He comes to somebody that's the outcast of society, when He comes even to the rich, when He goes to the rich young ruler and says, all that you've done, but I tell you what you haven't done, just give everything away and follow me. Whatever that is, whatever that's number one, He may call you to lay down, but I'll tell you this, there's freedom in giving that up and operating in Him this morning. That's my prayer this morning, that wherever you need it, wherever I need it, that we operate out of the freedom of Jesus Christ this morning. Anybody want to pray that with me this morning? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Forgive us when we try to fill it with everything else that can be named under the sun. God, we try. Even those of us that have been walking in this and living this, we forget and we still try to live in bondage. It feels more normal. But the chains have been set free. We are no longer bound. Jesus came to set the captives free. So I'm just talking about literal prisoners. Not prisoners to themselves, to their addiction, to whatever bondage that can be named, that Jesus, You came to heal our broken places, and You came to set us free. And Your word says that if we have been set free by the Son, then we are free indeed. In other words, it is finished. Freedom. We breathe it in this morning. Let it out. We just come to You with the relaxation of that. We know we have been set free, not just for today and for tomorrow, but all eternity to come. We are free indeed. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. It can only be found in You. Forgive us when we try to fill it somewhere else. I pray that if someone here this morning is just never made that first time, just, yes, I'm in with Jesus, as Jesse said, I'm tired of banging my head against the wall. I choose to be rescued. Will that initial rescue take place today? I pray that for my friends that need that this morning. If we've been rescued and we still try to put ourselves back in chains, God, forgive us for that. Help us to walk in You. Thank You for freedom that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. God, we love You. We thank You. And it is the name that offers freedom that we pray this morning. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.